her this week, but let's pray for her as well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today that we can come boldly to the throne of grace with boldness and confidence in the name of Jesus, the name that gets your attention, Lord. And today we worship you. Those of us that are here today, Lord, we worship you. We bless you. You are God. You are able to do above and exceedingly more than we could ever ask or think. And so today we come to you, Lord. We are in agreement together today for this baby. We're in agreement together today for this family. Lord God, that you would work in their midst, performing your perfect will in their lives. We pray for the surgery on Thursday, Lord. Bring them together. May they grow together through it. We pray you guide and direct the doctors as the surgery goes on. Lord, cover them today with your grace. Cover them today with your will and your absolute glory. We praise you. And for Verda, who's in the hospital, Lord, has been in and out many times. We pray for her too. And I thank you, Lord, for her upbeat smile that I see every time I call on her. Just strengthen her as well, Lord, today. Sustain her by the Spirit. May the joy of the Lord be her strength. We thank you for that. Father, today we want to thank you for the awesome ministry of the Gideons. I know how dearly you must hold them to your heart because they are your voice in this earth. They spread your word. The word says that the flower fades, but the word of God will last forever. So, Lord, it's such an important ministry. I thank you for every time I hear the Gideons speak, every time I go to a Gideon's banquet, every time I have anything at all to do with the Gideons, I hear testimonies of transformed lives. So we thank you for that today. We thank you for the power of God that's able to transform a life. And no agency on this planet is able to accomplish that. No agency, no human agency on this planet is as successful, even close to being as successful, as your word when it comes to transforming people. And that is a testimony that God is real, God exists, God loves us. So, Lord, we thank you for that today. Bless Ben and Karen as they come and share with us this morning the really neat things that are going on in the Gideon's camp. Thank you for their ministry. May we all, each individual one of us, Lord, be on fire for your word. We carry on our lips the words of life. So help us be good ambassadors for Jesus. We thank you and we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
At the age of 9, when I came home from school, I worked in the basement helping my mother to bottle bootleg whiskey. You see, my mother was an alcoholic, my father was an alcoholic, my sister was suicidal, and my brother died from a crippling disease at a very early age. At the age of 13, I witnessed a stabbing death of my father. It was that experience that caused me to harden my heart against the world. I got involved with drugs, alcohol, and prostitution. But during that time, I knew there was something missing in my life. I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe if I had more drugs, had more things, maybe that would be the solution. But it wasn't. But I had an aunt. She would come by my house on a Sunday morning and she would literally drag me out of bed and take me to church with her on a Sunday. It got to a point where it was easier to go to church with her than to fight with her on a Sunday morning. Going to church got to be fun because I learned where they put the money from the collection plate. And I used to steal money from the collection plate to support my drug habit. So when she would come by on a Sunday morning, I would be up, dressed, and ready to go. And she thought, oh, the word of God is really getting into my nephew. It wasn't the word of God. It was the money from the collection plate. After a period of time, some of the leaders caught me taking the money, and they took me to a place they call the upper room. I can tell you, after having that conversation in the upper room with those church leaders, I didn't have any more use for that church. I got back out into the streets of Philadelphia, got deeper involved with drugs and alcohol and prostitution. But that emptiness was still there. I thought, well, maybe if I joined the military, maybe that would be the answer. I joined the Army. Within 8 weeks, I'd went AWOL twice, and Uncle Sam concluded, you're useless, and we're not going to waste our time trying to make a soldier out of you. There I was, a reject from Uncle Sam's Army. I started working in a slaughterhouse, and there was a young man working in that slaughterhouse by the name of Joe Frazier. Joe and I, we would sit on our lunch hour, and we would share life experiences with each other. Joe would try to influence me with his goodness, and he would say, hey, Lee, you need to get off the street, leave the drugs alone, get into the gym, train. I would tell him, I don't want to hurt you, Joe. I went on. I continued my life of drugs and alcohol. Joe Frazier went on to be the heavyweight champ of the world, still searching for something to fill the void that was in my life. At the age of 30, I was on my third marriage, still searching for something to fill that emptiness. My wife had came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and she would tell me how Jesus could change my life. I told her, nobody could change me. She said, but Jesus can change your life. She began to have a Bible study in the home. And when she did, those Christians would come over to my house on a Tuesday and a Wednesday evening. And I did not like those Christians coming into my house. I would call my drug friends over. I called my alcoholic friends over. And on the night that they was having Bible study, we would be in one room, smoking dope, telling dirty jokes, watching X-rated movies. I was determined to run those Christians out of my house. After a period of time, my wife said, I can't live like this anymore. Either you change or I'm leaving. I told her I couldn't change. I didn't know how to change. She said, but Jesus can change you. I said, nobody can change me. After a few weeks, she noticed that I was not making any effort to change my way of living. She packed up everything that she had, moved back to Illinois. That following day, I got up early. I started tooting some coke. Took me a couple of hits of acid. I rolled me a joint, and I went for a walk in the county park down in Battle Creek, Michigan. And as I sat on that park bench, just recapping my life, thinking about all the things people had said about me, you're useless. You're no good. You would never amount to nothing. And as I sat, and those thoughts continue to run through my mind, I came to the conclusion that I would be better off to the world if I was dead. And it was that morning that I was going to go home and start popping pills and to commit suicide. But there were some faithful men in the park that day. It was witnessing to the homeless, and they was giving them these little testaments. And one of those men walked up to me. He had a big smile on his face. He said, do you know Jesus? I said, no, and I don't want to know Jesus. He said, Jesus loved you. I said, if you knew of all the things that I've done, all the people who I've hurt, nobody could love me. He was carrying the Bible under his arm. He had a handful of testaments. And I pushed him aside and began to walk away. And his Bibles all fell to the ground. And when I reached down to pick it up, my eyes fell upon the following scripture. It's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good from the land." I tell you, friends, those words did surgery on my soul. I began to cry. I fell to my knees, and that young man, he took that little testament, and he showed me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I personalized that. For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten son. And then he turned over into the book of Romans and he showed me how I could be saved. It was that day that I prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, clean up my life, and make me somebody. The Lord heard that prayer. The Lord answered that prayer. And I want you to know that I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs. I went home. I got on the phone. I called my wife and I shared with her about my life-changing experience. She say, "I know there's something different about you because we've been talking for 45 minutes and you not said one bad word." The Lord had even taught me how to speak English. So I stand here today as a result of one little testament in the hands of one person. Asking the question, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? God bless you.
In Isaiah chapter 55:11, the prophet wrote these words, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I have pleased. And it shall prosper in the way thereof that I send it." Gideons are men and women who felt and heard the call of Jesus Christ say, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the ministry that we are in today. It's our desire that we get God's word into every person's hand as fast, as quick as we possibly can. Gideons are one of the arms of the church in missions. So many churches cannot grasp that for some reason. But we are men and women who volunteer to see to it that the word gets sent out to those that we come into contact with. This past year, we were privileged to distribute 84,500,000 scriptures. Think of it. There's 6 billion people in the world. You divide that by 84,500,000, and that's one Bible for every 71 people. Think of that. One Bible for every 71 people. I would say there's 110 people here this morning. We wouldn't even be able to get two Bibles. The world is hungry for the God's Word. The year that Katrina hit the Gulf of Texas in New Orleans,
The Gideons were able to distribute in 1 week out of their emergency fund of Bibles that they have stored for emergencies, 300,000 scriptures. These were passed out by the camps of Louisiana to the refugees that were being bussed out of New Orleans during that awful storm, because they were not able to even carry their belongings. The only thing they had was the clothes on their back. So they were not able to have their Bibles. At this time, we're going to see another film. And remember the age of this young man, young people. You have seen one film, you'll see another one at this time.
Good evening. If you would just take a second with me, and I would like for you to do an exercise of your most important muscles on your body. If everybody would just smile for me. Thank you very much. I'm here to share a story with you. It's not a new story, it's old. I've been serving the Lord for many years, but part of that serving the Lord is due to the Gideons and this powerful ministry. I'm going to take you to the campus of Mississippi State University. Beautiful fall morning, 1989. Clear, crisp skies. Front had just come through. A proud college boy bouncing his way to class. I turn the corner at the student union and encounter a bunch of old men in suits passing out testaments. And I was infuriated. As they handed me a testament, I threw it at them, spit on them, and began to curse and rant and rave. How dare you come to this campus and bring your lousy religion and push this on us? I paid good money to go to school here. Who do you think you are? And those guys just smiled at me and let me finish what I had to say and continued passing out scriptures. I went to class so miserable and angry that the young lady sitting next to me left class crying. I had offended her so badly, speaking about her God and her Lord and Savior. But I had left the campus for the weekend. I'd convinced my parents that I needed to drive 6 hours to work in New Orleans on the weekends at home. I could make more money and I could focus on my studies at school. But my real mission in New Orleans was to get drugs and fuel my addiction on alcohol and carousing and going to nightclubs. And so this particular Saturday, I had purchased more drugs than normal and was with some friends in a car, participating in getting high and taking drugs, and had the door open and the music loud, waiting for the nightclub to open. And as we were sitting there, two gentlemen approached the car with a track. And before they could get to me, I knew what they had and I knew what they were coming with. It's Jesus. And I jumped out of the car in rage, ready to fight, punch, and kick and kill. I hated. I couldn't believe that I've come to have a good time and this is Jesus again. And they handed me the track and I crumpled it and threw it behind me and began to curse and wanted to throw my chest out. One of my friends pulled me off and said, "Man, they're not here to harm you. Just come on, let's go inside and have a good time." I went into the nightclub and began to have what I thought was a good time. And as I stood on the balcony of an upper deck in the nightclub watching the people dance below me, it looked as though the bodies began to mesh together and melt, and the people looked like they were burning, and I began to feel burning, and something inside of me said to run out of that club and find those guys. I left the nightclub on fire. Literally, I felt like I was burning up in a literal hell. As I exited the nightclub, there at the door, there's a line of maybe 150 to 200 people deep waiting to get in this nightclub. And there, amidst all the mockery, were the two gentlemen who had handed me the tract with heads bowed, praying for me to come out of that nightclub. And I tapped them on the shoulder and said, "Hey, I'm here to apologize to you for the way I treated you." And they began to try to share the gospel. And I said, no, I didn't come here to get your religion. I just came to apologize. Have a good night. And I went back in the nightclub for my friend to tell me that, you know, Johnny, it's time to go. We have to be at work. It's 6 a.m. Those guys had stayed all night praying for me to come out of that nightclub. Well, I made my way back to Starkville Sunday evening. I don't even remember how I got there in the 6-hour drive because I was so delusional from the drugs. But I returned home and I was miserable. And today I can look back on those 3 days and liken it to being dead for 3 days in a grave because I literally didn't eat, didn't drink, I didn't go to class, and I did not sleep. I just sat there with my hands in my head on the side of my bed. And that one morning that just something went off that I needed to go into my car. There was something there. I don't remember what I went to retrieve, but as I opened the door, there was that little pink track crumpled up on the floor. And I took it out and ironed it out, pressed it out, and began to read it. And see, I was raised in a godless home. My parents are Roman Catholic, but not practicing, never taking me to church very much. I had heard very little about God and had developed atheistic beliefs in college from some of my professors. So this was the first time I really read the scripture. And it was in this tract, and my mind began to be filled with doubts. Is this a cult? Is this something that I want to be involved in, as I read Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. But another light went off in my head, and I went to my book bag, I think to get a pencil to underline the verses in this tract. And as I unzipped my book bag, there was a testament in the book bag. Some crazy Gideon, while I was cussing him out, was unzipping my book bag, putting a Bible inside of it. So I began the task of searching the scriptures for the verses that were in the tract. And it took me hours to find verses because I'd never navigated my way through a Bible before. But as I read those verses, it was as if the scales began to fall off of my eyes and light entered into my body. And for several weeks, that's all I could do was come home and read those scriptures after class. I didn't do anything but read the Bible. And I read, and I knew I was depraved and I needed help. And I turned to the back of that Gideon Testament on October 18th of 1989. I didn't know what I had to do, but I read there that the Lord's Prayer, and I fell on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, if you are for real, would you come into my heart and change me? And I signed the back of that testament, closed it, and went to bed. And that next morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you know my friends came to the house in the coming weeks to look for marijuana, and I would pull out a Tupperware dish and tell them I had some really good stuff, and I'd have that testament in there. I began to share the Lord with everyone I could meet and was able in the next few days to have an opportunity to share with my mother as she was going through a rough time with my dad. And I was in that time able to see them saved. And through this period of time, I was able to share with both of my grandmothers and lead them to Christ. And last year, to see my grandfather, 2 weeks, the hardest, coldest, anti-believing church, religion, I hate God, man, cold-hearted, 2 weeks before he died, give his heart to Jesus Christ. And Gideon's, can you imagine 1.6 million scriptures in the Philippines? How many of that word, those scriptures are going to intentionally reach into the hearts of the lost and dying souls? Thank you for letting me share with you this evening. Have a wonderful convention. May God bless you and to the glory of the Father. Amen.
Gideons have 6 requests today. The first one is the most important one. We ask that you pray. Pray. I don't know how many of you have been listening to the news the last few weeks, but I saw one clip where several hundred people were burnt to death alive by a Muslim group in Nigeria. 2 weeks ago, I heard a report that 22 school children were beheaded in a school in Sudan. We have Gideons in 195 countries. They're actually living in those countries. They're doing the same thing that the Gideons are doing here in America. We're pretty well sheltered here, but in America, in foreign lands, many of them, if they are found out that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be beheaded before night. So we ask that you pray for these leaders as they have church, home churches, and they secretly are meeting and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to their fellow men. And then we ask that you pray for financial help. 40% of the income for the Gideons comes from churches like this one here, where we receive an offering. And we will be receiving an offering at the close of the service. And if you decide to write a check, we would encourage you to write it to the Gideons International. These offerings are used to purchase these Bibles. This little Bible here today cost $1.25. A couple years ago, they were costing $1.30, but they found a cheaper printing company that would do it for a nickel less. This Bible here, you see them always in the hotels and motels. They have a life expectancy of 6 years. If they are used every day, they have the potential of reaching 2,300 and some people. When we get done with them in the hotels and motels, we change them out, we check them, and we check the hotels and motels at least once a year. And if they're soiled or a page is torn, we replace it with a new one. And we don't throw them away. We give them to people like Bob and Ken Otot to give to the jail ministries and the correctional institutions that they go and see. But these Bibles are purchased, and 40% of the income is from churches, church meetings like this. Then there's another program that I think is a sleeping giant, and we are trying to educate churches to use this program, and that's the card program, and I'm going to ask my wife to come and explain that program to you at this time.
On the wall in the back of this church, as well as I think every church in Republic County and Cloud County, is a card rack with Gideon cards in it. Those cards are free to you. They are of three different sources. They are the memorial to give at time of death. They are the in recognition for 50th anniversaries, promotions people have, retirements or whatever. And they are used for whatever purpose you can find. But instead of buying flowers, so that's dye, of course, or some other source, a type of memorial, you could give these. And this is how you do that. They come in three parts. There you'll find they have a white envelope, a card, as well as an insert. So first you take it all apart. You lay your envelope down. You take your card. Let's say it's a memorial. And John Doe has passed away, so you want to send his wife, Jane Doe, a card in a memorial. So you would write in there in memory of John Doe, and then there's a space. How many Gideon Bibles do you place Bibles do you want to give? Ben showed you that the Motel Bible, and that is $5. So you're saying I want to give a $25 donation. So you would say I'm going to give 5 Gideon Place Bibles in memory of John Doe. And you write your name and address there for their convenience, so because everybody wants to send a thank you note. And it also tells them there a little message there that this Bible could reach 2,300 people. And a blank side there that you can give your personal comments. You do the same method for the in recognition or in the thinking of your card. Put it in the envelope, send it to Jane, and she now has her memorial card from you. So you take the other donation envelope that's inside, already addressed to the Concordia camp, and in there you'll find the first little sheet that you can tear off. It says how many Bibles do you want to give, and you put 5 Bibles or $25, or you could just give a lump sum money. You don't have to say how many Bibles if you don't want to, but and you put a check mark for either check or credit card. You tear this little flyer off, and with your check, you put it in the envelope. On the back side of that little flyer is information. If you wanted to do a credit card instead of a check, you fill that out, put that in that envelope. On this side, it says what kind of card you're sending. In this case, we would check in memorial, and it's in memory of John Doe. And it says who's sending these cards, and you fill that out. You just seal it up, put a stamp on it, and send it to the Gideon's camp and here in Concordia. Every single dollar you give goes for Bibles and nothing for administration fees. So be assured that all your donations are definitely given for Bible distribution.
As Karen has said, every dollar that you give goes towards the purchasing of God's Word and shipping wherever they need to be shipped. You say, how does an organization like this fund it? They're funded by the dues that we as Gideons pay every year. That pays for the salaries for the people in the headquarters and things of that nature. Us guys out here in the camps all over the world, our volunteers. In John 4, 35 and 36, we read, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest." Last year, India was begging the Gideons for 100 million scriptures. Think of it, 100 million. The Philippines were begging for 12 million. Nigeria was begging for 2 million. So that's 114 million. How many scriptures did we distribute last year? 84,500,000. We're way short. And it's a problem for headquarters, because how do they decide which country gets how many Bibles? But the thing that really touches my heart is the fact. Reports have been given by people that have been on scripture blitzes, and they go to a school and there's 505 kids there, and they distribute and they run out of scriptures, and there's 4 or 5 kids that don't get a Bible because they don't have them. And they leave brokenhearted. Folks, we need help. We need it badly. We need everyone to help as much as you can financially, as the Lord directs you. Then we have the new members. The Gideon ministry is growing by leaps and bounds in foreign countries. We were requested to pray 3 weeks ago Because they're establishing a Gideon camp, guess where? North Korea. There's only one Christian organization that I know that can even get close to into North Korea, and that's the Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham. If you don't believe it, ask Greta Van Susseren. She'll tell you. In the foreign countries, the people are so hungry for God's Word. The fields are white unto harvest, folks. And they want God's Word. God says in His Word, in the last days, there will be an outpouring of His Spirit. And that is very true. It's happening today. But sad to say, in America, there isn't a movement afoot to do away with army chaplains. The other day, there was a call made to the Pentagon. They wanted a certain picture of Jesus removed from a worship service room in the military. And within the hour of that phone call, that picture was removed. Our chaplains have been told they cannot preach. They cannot lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you... Their hands are getting tied. And this has all happened in the last year or so. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning that maybe I should get involved in the Gideon ministry, we would be more than happy to visit with you about that situation. And you can talk to me or Don Garlow or Rex Whitney whenever. And we can share that with you as far as that goes. And then, in a crowd of this size, it's always the Gideon's request that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the time is ripe today. Today is the day of salvation. And if you have that still small voice speaking to you in your heart, you want to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and you don't know how, see Pastor Bob, see Pastor Josh, see Pastor Redmond, or a Sunday school teacher, or maybe your parents. But we encourage everyone to accept Christ, because we do not know what day or hour that we will no longer be on the face of the earth. I want to thank Pastor Redmond. I want to thank the spiritual leaders of this church this morning for the opportunity that we have had to share with you the message of the Gideon ministry. Thank you. May God bless.
Thank you, Ben and Karen, for taking time to share with us. And as you go today, please don't just walk out the doors, but take time to stop by. They've got a booth set up out in the back, and talk with Ben or Karen or whoever else is here representing the Gideons. Like he said, we have several others in our church who are Gideons, and talk to them, and at the very least, start praying for the Gideon Bibles.